I tell my team that our job is to make other employees' jobs easy as we possibly can. Develop the tools, give them the tools, buy the tools, whatever we need to do to make their jobs easier. So I do a lot of things like report writing, business intelligence. I solve business problems. They have a problem. They come to me. Do we have the tools? Yes, no. Let's get the tools. Let's find a solution. A lot of brainstorming, a lot of teamwork, a lot of data wrangling and managing, but it's fun.
Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan. Welcome to our show where we hear from business leaders who are building the future of manufacturing. Today, I'm speaking with Adam Bartlett, Data Systems Manager of Arnold Lumber Company. Now, this is an organization that has a long history of innovation and service going back to 1911. So that means for over a century, they've been a cornerstone of the building materials industry. They've built trusted relationships with builders, remodelers, homeowners, and communities. Arnold Lumber is based in Rhode Island, and it has grown from a small wood lot in North Kingstown to a full-service supplier with locations across the state, serving the broader New England area with a wide range of building materials, hardware, cabinetry, design services, contractor referral services, and much more. Basically everything their customers need to bring their visions to life. Now, I'm excited to speak with my guest today, Adam, because he has an extensive background in solutions design within the building materials sector. He has expertise in solution implementation, report writing, development, data analysis, and of course, the building industry as a whole. So we'll carve out and drill in to the real meaning of digital transformation in this sector. Let's get started, Adam. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. All right, so let's start by getting to know you. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, your journey to becoming the data systems manager at Arnold Lumber Company?
Yes, of course. So I joined Arnold Lumber about 7 years ago. In fact, my anniversary date is in a couple of days, actually.
Congrats.
Before that, I spent a little over a decade with another independent. And before that, I worked at a large building materials box store. I've held different roles throughout my career, things like logistics and operations side, order picking, load planning. I've done inside sales, counter sales, outside sales support. I've really been privileged to have leaders and mentors who have guided me through my experiences and cross-trained and had a lot of opportunities that I really took advantage of. So
that's great. Can you tell us a little bit about what a data systems manager does on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, sure. My direct boss, the COO of Arnold Lumber, Matt Simonic, says, I'm often the man behind the curtain. I make things happen. I tell my team that our job is to make other employees' jobs easy as we possibly can. Develop the tools, give them the tools, buy the tools, whatever we need to do to make their jobs easier. So I do a lot of things like report writing, business intelligence. I solve business problems. They have a problem. They come to me. Do we have the tools? Yes, no. Let's get the tools. Let's find a solution. A lot of brainstorming, a lot of teamwork, a lot of data wrangling and managing. But it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy coming to work.
That's great. I bet everybody wants you on their side.
Generally, yeah. Yeah. Because I can make their lives miserable, but very often a lot easier too.
That's great. Okay. And then Arnold Lumber. As I mentioned in the intro, I mean, you all have been around for so long and have really expanded beyond some pretty humble beginnings. Can you talk a little bit about the locations that you have now and the services that you offer?
Sure. Yep. So we started in 1911. We're still family owned by the same family. It was a wood lot. It was lumber cut down and put in a garage. And very often somebody would come over and leave a note on a Sunday that I took a couple of sticks. I'll see you on Tuesday to pay for it. It grew so large that they ended up getting land up in Maine and they would cut that down and haul that back to Rhode Island. And really that was the start. We've grown from those humble beginnings to 4 locations in Rhode Island. So we have our main yard in West Kingston, which is co-located with our masonry yard. We have a branch up in Bristol. We have a branch in Wakefield, and we have a branch in Westerly, Rhode Island.
Oh, nice. That's right. I didn't even realize or mention masonry. You have, yeah. I mean, wow. Okay. You really do everything.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yep. As much as we can.
Yes. Okay. So on this show, we like to explore technology, that technology behind the scenes, which you're so familiar with, that makes it all happen.
Sure.
So when did Arnold Lumber Company first decide that you all needed to make an investment in digital technologies? What was going on in the business?
So we were running on an older ERP solution before we went to BizTrack, and it was dated. It was really moving out of support. There wasn't much development or any development at all going into it. And this was really the burgeoning beginnings of the web really becoming something big, something bigger. So the executive team and ownership made the decision. They invested in BizTrack, and we went live in November of 2015. My boss basically signed on with the company about 20 minutes before that happened. So he had a bit of a challenge wrangling that through. And then some of the other things that really kind of got us were the digital baggage that we had from the old ERP, where you had size limitations, space limitations, character limitations, and that just flowed into BizTrack. So I spent a lot of my time over the years fixing that, correcting that, working hand in hand with purchasing to build out the descriptions, because now with web-based buying, what worked for us internally or worked for somebody who has been in the industry for 20 years doesn't work for somebody who just started with the company, has no idea what a 2x4 is or a hammer is. So it's the internal and external customer that you've got to balance and you've got to work through and correct that information so everybody benefits.
I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about those challenges because, well, I like drama, but also I can imagine that it's, you know, difficult to kind of work through those. So what were some of the challenges, maybe a little bit more about having to unpack, as you said, sort of the digital baggage from the previous, maybe even how did you decide to move to BizTrack, the Epicor BizTrack solution in the first place? Yeah, what were some more of those challenges that you had to go through?
So interestingly enough, I led a BizTrack implementation at the other independent that I worked for.
Oh, I see.
And it really was, in my opinion, the best solution out there. The flexibility, the ability to have the smart views and the dashboards and the user-defined objects and so on that really let you take a pretty robust package and make it work for you. Where we got stuck, and I think a lot of places do, is we bought the Ferrari. And we tried to drive it like the Pinto that we used to have. And we tried to make it work like our old green screen ERP. And it's not that anymore. And that's one of the biggest struggles internally was I used to be able to do this. Well, you can't anymore, but you can do this. The rewards have been immeasurable, though, because we've been able to go from a really, really heavily paper-based system to something where I don't have to remember it anymore. And it's not just me remembering it. It's available for anybody who needs to look at it, can now look at it all the time, 24/7, 365. So that's been a tremendous win for us.
How did you phase in that implementation? I'm just thinking, speaking of the paper processes, I'm sure you had to start somewhere and then kind of phase it in. Or was it big bang?
From what I understand, implementing BizTrack was a big bang. It was fairly rough. So they went live in November of 2015. I joined in February of 2017, and we sort of had the pieces. We were kind of getting there. So I started in logistics. My job was basically to get Journey Planner to be a thing. Mm-hmm. So we were heavily paper-based. So all of our load building, all of our load planning, route planning was all based on clipboards and paper. So the only people who had any knowledge of it were the dispatchers who were staring at it. And literally prior to BizTrack, when they were done scheduling for the day, they'd literally turn off a printer. So business stopped at that point, or any future planning stopped at that point.
Yeah.
So having BizTrack really didn't let them turn off the printer anymore, and we had to innovate. And we tried, and we basically rebuilt the clipboards in Journey Planner, and that it kind of worked. It didn't really work. So we ended up building some BI that was more allowing them to schedule by vehicle type and weight and length and that sort of thing. When we implemented WMS at all our locations, that was a huge win. And then it was pretty much plugging in the pieces, and getting WMS forced us to use Journey Planner with no questions. And now we literally plan everything days in advance, sometimes a week or more. And it's really benefiting us. Our service levels have increased greatly.
That's interesting. Okay. So you've mentioned BizTrack.
Yes.
Journey Planner.
Yes.
WMS in the warehouse.
Correct.
Are we missing any?
I mean, we have basically all of it. We have the ability to import quotes and sales orders from our supplier quoting portals. We have AP automation, which, so we have the four branches and we have one accounts payable clerk. And as we can automate the majority of it. What else do we have? We have GPS tracking of our vehicles. Yeah, I think we've got pretty much everything.
Oh, this is great. Okay, so you mentioned automation. I'd love to explore sort of the way it is now versus the way it was before. So what has been the impact on the business? What are some of the things that you can do now that maybe you couldn't do previously, like the results that you've seen?
Sure. So we can actually send people home early. Prior to WMS, really, our drivers, depending on the day or the time of year, even might have been out till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. They're pulling in. We've still got loaders on site. They're loading those trucks for the first waves for those drivers to come back in at 6 in the morning and roll the next day. It's a high risk of burnout doing that. We've gotten so good with leveraging WMS and the way we're using that in BizTrack that our drivers are going home at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Our load builders are going home slightly later than that. And we're doing the same or higher volume than we were when we were entirely paper-based. And we've done this pretty much without adding any heads in the logistics side of things.
This is incredible. This is exactly the kind of success we are so happy to see, the kind where you're empowering people, you're giving them stronger work-life balance, more flexibility in their day-to-day, and the ability to get home at a decent hour.
Yep. We did some analysis and we were able to send sales home at 4 if they want to. The phones basically turn off. They can stay as late as they need to accomplish what they have, but you get that extra hour. If you're in operations, you may get an extra 2 or 3. It's incredible how much value that adds to the employees' lives.
That's great. And you mentioned too, maintaining essentially same profitability levels, growth. Yep. That's excellent.
We added capacity without adding any structures, any facilities, which is huge. And we're really gearing up to leverage that as best we can in 2024 in the future.
That's great. Thinking about the variety of technologies that you have implemented, if you had to choose whichever one you think has had the greatest impact, which would that one be?
WMS by far.
WMS. Okay.
It's had the most direct impact to how we operate. With our journey planner system before and our paper system, we were literally guided around by pieces of paper that were only as good as the last time we printed them. So changes in any way, shape, or form were difficult to accomplish. Inventory was a challenge. We were doing 2 physical inventories twice a year at every location. So just the time alone and the investment and the payroll to do inventory was an incredible burden. Now we're doing perpetual inventory. We're doing approximately 10% of our site's locations every week, and it's auditable and it's monitorable and where everybody's looking at it, and we publish it. It's be proud of this that you're 100%. We know your accuracy is 97. Okay. But you got 100% and you're going to do it the next week. And that's starting to build more and more trust in the system now, because in the past it would be, well, do you have this doorknob? It says I have one. Now, yep, I've got one. It's right here. It was last counted yesterday. You get all that information at your fingertips. And then just the planning side of things too, because we're forced effectively to use Journey Planner to schedule our loads, we're actually building routes. We're actually building trucks. And the operators have to pick the material in the order that the dispatch team has set up. So we reduce the risk, or mostly mitigate the risk of the word going around that, oh, you know, we're done with picking for today because we're on tomorrow's first waves. So we can respond to emergencies now because we're a day or two ahead. So, oh, it's an emergency. Okay, I can drop what I'm doing because it's for Tuesday or Wednesday and I can pick up that emergency and take care of it. Transfers. We're doing transfers same day in some instances. That used to be a 4 or 5 business day process. And we'd sort of try to accelerate the ones that we kind of thought there was a customer on the other end of, an outside customer versus an internal customer. It's treated the same now. It's the same flow. You just pick what's next. So that's enabled us to design these routes to maximize the efficiency. We went to central dispatching. So now we're leveraging our entire fleet. So we'll take a truck loaded with transfers, maybe a couple deliveries. We'll send it out on those deliveries. It'll drop the transfer up. It'll pick up other orders for that branch it's at. It'll make deliveries. It'll return to the branch, pick up back transfers and backhaul them. So I don't know that anybody else has that flexibility or understands that those tools are available. So it's a pretty large competitive advantage for us.
Excellent. That is great. And I can imagine too, your customers are so happy to get their order accurate, on time, early, even.
Yeah, the accuracy has gone up. We're using the BizTrack delivery app with Journey Aware. So we're scanning off trucks. We're capturing images. We're capturing signatures. So everybody can see these things and it's having an impact, positive impact.
Yeah, like you said, auditable, monitorable, having that kind of visibility, I can imagine, is very important.
Yep.
So in the spirit of the innovation and, you know, that you had across the business, what is next? What are the technologies that you're looking out into the industry and you're thinking, oh, that is the next big thing. We're excited about that. What are you looking towards, Adam?
So one of the things that we're probably going to implement shortly is the integration with Journey Planner and Trimble Mapping. So that assisted commercial aware truck-based routing. It's another tool for our toolkit. It helps the drivers know that there's a low bridge or a weight limit and avoid those where your traditional Google Map type mapping just doesn't give you that information. So we're excited about that. We're also launching a new web experience for our customer base, so a customer web portal and a web store. We're really excited to try to figure out how we can best let our customer know that the delivery is on the road. It's been delivered. Here's the picture of it. Kind of Amazon, because they've really sort of set the standard for that. So those sort of innovations are exciting for us.
That's great. I'm also excited about that because I think that's going to have a big impact. And if I could ask, I feel like you've already shared a lot of really great advice, but I know that you are someone who does participate in different networking opportunities that Epicor has, like the Insights events and things. When you are speaking with other business leaders in your sector or in your industry, what advice do you share? And I'm also thinking too about you're at a long time family owned business, which has different dynamics. So what are some of the advice that you would pass along to those that you're speaking with?
So my boss has a saying, and I don't necessarily know that it's his, and he uses it occasionally, and it's change the people around you. Fortunately, we haven't had to do a lot of the second changing, but we've had some recent hires, a new operations manager, a new logistics manager, and a new process improvement manager who came from entirely outside of the industry. So when they came on board, they started asking why. And some of us would say, well, we've always done it that way. And that really didn't cut it. And those individuals in the short time they've been with us have had some amazing implementation or process improvements or transitions that have, it's so amazing how much the impact they've had in the short amount of time because they brought that knowledge with them from outside of the industry. They weren't stuck in the mud. So it's been huge. So hire, whether promote somebody internally or look outside the industry, get your experience level, get your people in. And if you get to a point where everybody's really comfortable, you can hire for the personality and then you can teach. And that's one of the things that, you know, I keep harping on at WMS has let us do is we can take somebody who doesn't know building materials. We can train them on how to properly, safely drive equipment. We can hand them a scan gun. And what used to be a 2 or 3 month process is now a week process to get somebody up and running. And then they're really good at it in 3 weeks, which is tremendous. So look at your team, evaluate your team, understand there are people that are really resistant to change and there are people that like change. And then you've got to figure who you need to champion what you're trying to do and then communicate those goals. That was something we ran into with WMS was we really didn't tell effectively everybody that we should have what the end game was. You need to communicate. You need to get really good at communication. We had a huge push in 2023. We have digital signage everywhere that's employee facing. And we do birthdays and call outs and company information and company events and reminders about holidays and payroll information changes. But it's constantly there. It's constantly on. It's bright. It's visible. And everybody can see it. So the message gets across. It's really effective. And it's cool to be walking through the yard and hear an operator call out to somebody else, like, happy birthday. And they may have never known that. But that signage is there. So that's huge. And then have fun. It's work, but you can make it fun. You can make it fun, even if it's safe. But build the team, get the flows going and work off each other. And yeah, you've got different opinions, but you can come to a conclusion and you can make it better for everybody.
This is such great advice. I feel like one of the things that I noticed about Arnold Lumber Company that really resonated with me is the importance of not just, of course, your customers, but also the broader community. And it sounds like that is extending to not just the community that you're serving, but those within the organization itself and really celebrating each other. I think that's wonderful. What a great place to work you all have.
It is. When I first interviewed, the owner said to me, she said, we have a couple of jobs here. So job number one is safety. And then job number two is we want everybody to be successful. We want our customers to be successful. We want our suppliers to be successful. And then we want us to be successful. And we need those three legs for that to happen. And they believe that. And we all live it. It's an incredible experience coming to work every day.
That's great. That is great. Well, Adam, this has been a wonderful conversation. For anybody who wants to get to know more about Arnold Lumber Company or get to know more about you or maybe connect with you, where would you direct them?
Yep. So personally, I'm on LinkedIn. You can reach me there. Email abartlett@arnoldlumber.com. Our website is a great resource. We're launching a new one very shortly that will have more information and a more approachable method. And then I'm at events and conferences and everything else. Just bump into me, say hi, and I'll be happy to chat with you.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. I'm sure I'll see you there.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Adam. That was Adam Bartlett, Data Systems Manager of Arnold Lumber Company, a full service supplier of building materials and services based in Rhode Island, serving the broader New England area. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.